This is The Naturalist. In every episode, we're covering the products, ideas, and trends that are shaping the CPG industry.
Or that we just really like.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really glad to be back in our office, in our recording studio.
It's fun being in here. I like it. It feels like a little honeycomb that we're just curling up in. Sweet, but not too sweet.
Exactly.
And no refined sugar.
Well, it sounds like you might have something to say about the episode today.
Oh, I am excited about the episode today because I think talking about sugar and sweetness, not just in the sense of product formulations, but really in consumer expectations and preferences and this need to essentially retrain how people are interacting with products and particularly really sweet products.
Well, I know there was a concept that we talked about in our interview that you really loved, which was taste bud therapy.
Yes, I'm obsessed with taste bud therapy. And as I was sitting on my sofa last night eating leftover cake, yes, vegan cake made with aquafaba, and it was really delicious. But I was like, gosh, I find myself falling into this sweetness pattern and craving. And there is something to be said for this idea of taste bud therapy and what it can do for over, I think most Americans eat too much sugar. And it's not just about taking that sugar away, but it's about retraining your palate and engaging with other flavors, bitter flavors and salty flavors and surprising flavors of all kinds that are not overly sweet.
Well, it makes sense too. I mean, if you think about it, a sommelier with wine, you train your nose, right? Or a perfumier, I'm not sure how to say that, but perfumer, you're training your nose. So why wouldn't you be able to train your palate?
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, as we talked with Deb Eschmeyer and Jesse Schaefer, that was one of the things that came up. And overall, we were just talking about this cultural shift away from sugar, and especially in children's products. That is a major issue, and particularly in beverages. Children's beverages are accountable for so many of the extra calories that children are consuming, and so many of the health conditions that continue to be on the rise for children today.
Yeah, I really love this interview. I think that both of them really captured what's happening and what we can do about it as we move forward.
So let's jump in. They shared some great information about their background and why they were the best people to be speaking to on this topic. And we just had a lot of fun, too.
We did. Are we going to talk about sugar?
Sugar.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. Jesse, it's been, well, for both of you, it's been so long since
It's so nice to be here. We're at Natural Products Expo West filming this in real time on the show floor.
Yeah. You're a pro. You're like,
no, take it away, actually. Yeah. I'm just done listening to myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're welcome to my podcast, everybody. It's sugar.
So we're bringing you both here because you have a great session on the topic at Expo West. Amazing work that you're doing with Plezi and Jesse on the nutrition side of things. So I do feel like there's this whole shift in just consumer mindsets and awareness around sugar, as well as the types of flavors and products that are entering the market and just consumer palates changing. So lots of really exciting things happening. But let's take a step back. I would love for you each to introduce yourselves a little bit about your work and what excites you about this conversation.
Sure. Yeah. I'm Jesse Schaefer. I am a registered dietitian, and I used to work at New Hope Network on the content team there. I was the editor-in-chief of a consumer-facing magazine called Delicious Living. It still exists. And then helped build out the influencer program, the health practitioner audience at New Hope. Since leaving New Hope, I have joined an influencer brand. So we are a team of three registered dietitians at The Real Food Dietitians. We reach 1.5 million households every month through food and nutrition content online and on social media. And I also am launching a brand new company called Credible. So this is early stage consulting with an entire team of dietitians throughout the commercialization process. So this is a service for brands to help them through early stage formulation all the way through sales team training and everything in between. So the early stage pieces of bringing a better for you product to market, as we all know, this amazing industry keeps growing, but we want to make sure that it stays on track and the products actually are better for you. So tapping into the influence of dietitians to help make that come true. And then all the amazing communication that dietitians can offer to help brands really spread messages that are truthful and inspiring about health, all the way to making sure that those messages get translated to the people who are bringing your product to shelf, your sales teams that are actually talking to the consumer and making sure that that message is still conveyed.
That was great. Hi, I'm Deb Eschmeyer, and I have played a lot of different roles in the food system, from an organic farmer to starting a national nonprofit to help improve the school food system, to working as in the government as Mrs. Obama's head of Let's Move and the President Obama's nutrition policy advisor, and also working at CPG. I used to head up community affairs at Danone and with many of the organic brands here. And now I have my own company, Original Strategies, where we help all stars shine and helping them basically figure out how to create the mission that they have set out. And I'm also on the Plezi Nutrition Kitchen Cabinet, which is Mrs. Obama's company that she has co-founded to basically revolutionize the food system so that we can have products available to kids where it's meeting them where they're at. But we're making it so the products are delicious, tasty, but are nutritious forward. The whole point is, how do we make a product that kids actually want to consume, but starts with the kids' priorities first? Like, again, that there's no added sugar, which is what we're here to talk about today, is sugar.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much. It's so great to have each of you here, and you have such a range of experiences that are now influencing your work and influencing the CPG industry, which is really impressive. Before we dig into sugar, I do just want to ask about that, Deb. I know that you're so passionate about using CPG to truly affect change and this idea of agency, which is so powerful. Can you speak to kind of how you're seeing those ideas manifest here at Expo West truly affecting change in our food system through brands and products?
It's such a good question. I mean, the agency here is palpable. It really is. It's amazing the difference that these brands can make in American households when they're making products that are accessible to all, that truly have a better ingredient list, right? That have nutrients in them. It's not just calorie fillers, right? And what I'm hoping I'm seeing actually more of here is products that are looking to simplify, to have less sweetness, to have less sugar. It's not just less sugar, it's less sweetness. Unfortunately, what we're seeing a lot of times is they take out the sugar and they just add in a bunch of non-nutritive sweeteners, not looking to lower the sweetness profile. That is what my mouth is looking to explore today. Yeah. As we are tasting a lot of products here and seeing, like, can they actually meet that challenge? Because what we're doing is we're creating this, kids are getting used to this high sweetness profile, and they're constantly trying to meet that. So can we actually see an industry that is continuously lowering the sweetness profile?
It's so curious because my husband is Spanish, and one of the things that he said when we first moved to the States was, he said, I don't understand America. All these things that aren't supposed to be sweet are too sweet. Mm-hmm. And then he also says, but the things that are supposed to be sweet aren't sweet enough.
That was funny.
Carrot cake. But he just couldn't understand, why are all the crackers sweet? Why are, you know, all bread? Why is bread sweet? And it had never really occurred to me. And it and so perfectly characterizes the way that our palates have become accustomed to eating CPG products. Too sweet.
Yeah, it's so true, Adrian. There are so many products that any consumer would not say, oh, that's a sweet product that has any sugar in it, because you're not picking that up. But yet there is sugar in it, and it's contributing to those massive amount of sugar intake that we're all having every single day, and how we are becoming more used to a very sweet palate like that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, this idea, and I'll be curious to see what companies are doing here rather than just replacing white sugar with other sweeteners to achieve the same sweetness. How can we start to kind of shift consumer expectations, and starting with children, of what food should taste like? Is that possible?
I'm a mom of three. So yes, I do say it's possible. It's also quite amazing how we all kind of view sugar and sweetness as a safe attribute in foods. And so you can see that very early in kids. They kind of gravitate towards that. This isn't a food that's going to give you some kind of bitter reaction when you taste it. It's going to be pleasant all the way down. So to answer that question, yeah, there are some, you know, kind of built-in barriers to achieve. But also, I very much believe in the power of giving kids all the flavors that foods can offer, talking about the positive attributes of all of those. And I also very much believe in the power of taste bud therapy. So as you mentioned, you know, you can train your taste buds to enjoy a lower amount of sugar than what you're used to. Our taste buds reform every 2 weeks. And in about 12 weeks time, you can change, you know, your craveability towards very sweet foods. So this is a test that I've done with myself, and anybody who has kind of tried to reduce or eliminate sugars and then go back to something like a soda or something, you can taste how it tastes over saccharine sweet. There is something called taste bud therapy.
I was just going to ask, like, am I the only one who doesn't know what taste bud therapy is?
Oh, I know all about it.
Adrienne is a taste bud therapist.
I know about therapy. I know therapy well, but not taste bud therapy. What is that?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just a prevention strategy, basically, that a lot of healthcare practitioners, holistic ones, will talk about. You can train your taste buds to crave different foods, to like a wider variety of foods, to accept lower amounts of sugar, for example. You know, if you were trying to reduce sugar and you would say, okay, the strategy I'm going to do is to eat less foods that are sweet. And you would say that's a sacrifice, right? Because I really enjoy those foods. And so I'm going to eat foods that I don't quite enjoy. Well, through taste bud therapy, you actually get to a point where you are tasting some of those other flavors, like a savory flavor, a tangy, pungent flavor in food, a saltiness, this wide variety of flavors that foods provide start to become more enjoyable to you. You're kind of rewiring your entire chemistry and how your brain is responding to taste. It's a therapy I believe in.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Interesting. And Deb, from your point of view with children, right? I want to hear more about Plezi, and obviously it can be such a powerful brand, and if Mrs. Obama is behind it and you're behind it, I really believe in that. What are, just like at the most basic level, like what are the attributes of that product that you think will really appeal to children and will really start to change the expectations of parents and kids and what they're getting in delicious products?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, first off, we want kids to consume water and milk. That's hands down. It's whole fruits and vegetables with the taste therapy. Part of it is we want kids to have that experience of growing their own fruits and vegetables, being able to taste the sweet peas directly off the vine. We actually do want to have anything that's sweeter is having it like peas, like, oh my gosh, right? And learning that when they're a little bit smaller and not as big, right, they're better, they're not as bitter. Like those kind of things have to be ingrained in an early age. But that, of course, is the gold standard. That's what we want all kids to have. But we also want to live in the reality. I've been in the public health space for a really long time. We all want kids to only grab water. It's just not happening. And we can't pretend that we can come out with these alternative beverages that we think are moving the needle, and they're not, because they're having these full sugar. Nearly 2 out of 3 kids are drinking a sugary beverage every day, and they're getting 53 pounds of added sugar in a year.
That's shocking.
It's criminal. It really is. And this is on us. We should be providing better options that has no added sugar, that still meets kids to have flavor. You can give kids flavor without the added sugar. This is the benefit of natural sweeteners, where we can do this. And that's where we see there's been this actually pretty huge white space in the market to kind of flip the industry on its head, where it says, let's take out those 20 grams of sugar that the kids are just guzzling down, right, 3 to 4 times a day. And instead, let's give them something that's a little less sweet. That's good, but still the flavor profile is great. It's delicious. They actually, when we do taste tests, they like it better to have just a handful of like grams of sugar. And this is the thing that's always been great with working with Mrs. Obama, is just living in the land of the practical and making sure that you know what it's like to be a mom, that you're coming home from work, the kids are just screaming and whining, and they're just begging for something. Here's something that it's a win on both sides. You want to drink it, and it's better for you.
So it's a beverage.
It's a kid's fruit drink. And then launching at Expo, we're launching a carbonated fruit drink.
Ooh.
So going a little bit in our teens and tweens, which is another really hard market, and trying to be able to compete with soda and to make sure that, again, giving kids the flavor what they want without having to have 39 grams of sugar.
That's so exciting. I didn't know about the launch, so
And
I have
today.
I haven't tried the product at all, which I think I need to because I've been weirdly craving juices and things that I never, ever have wanted in my whole life. So I think I'm like a target consumer.
Sure thing. Yeah.
I have a little juice box, actually.
And so is it sweetened at all?
It's 30% fruit juice, and it has some non-nutritional stevia in it.
Okay.
And then other flavor profiles that really enhances that, again, that mouthfeel and what kids are going for. And what's the gap is that there's a lot of no sugar drinks out there, but they're still super sweet.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, you get almost sickly sweet, right? And then they have this aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
No kid's gonna wanna drink that. And so we were like, how do we do this? How do we actually create that right flavor? And we think we have it, like it's working. And what's really exciting is that we're answering to consumers who are like, we want some bubbles. So let's come out with Pleasy Fizz, which brings the bubbles. And then we're just gonna keep innovating, looking at categories that need disruption that haven't been touched for, frankly, for decades. That could really lead you to push when it comes to your nutritional profile, because we also have fiber. We have 2 grams of fiber, and there's vitamin C, there's magnesium, and the whole idea is how do you provide nutrients and concern that kids actually need while they're just sipping their beverage, right? And they're still getting the flavor that they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've certainly noticed, I work a lot on our Nexi Awards, and we have a kids category. We have a lot of retailers come in, and they're the judges, and one of the big feedback is, yeah, this is an interesting kids product, but my kid wouldn't touch it. No kid's going to drink this. No kid's going to eat this. So I think, you know, managing, finding that sweet spot. Pun intended.
Very nice.
Finding that sweet spot where kids will actually drink it and it's good for them is, I mean, that's the holy grail of kids products, right?
And I think you'd be surprised, right? A lot of taste testing went into the development of Pleasy, and we do think, okay, here's a sweet soda. Let me make something with a non-nutritive sweetener that matches that sweetness. And like Deb was saying, no, you can you can go quite a bit lower, and the kids still like it. So instead of answering for the kids and saying, oh, my kid would never like that, let's actually get kids involved, and I think we'd be surprised.
Yeah. Exactly. Kids, they're part of our entire development process. Like, we're not doing a bunch of tasting with adults, right? The whole idea is that they are the ones leading the way, because they are truth tellers. And part of it is, we also know that a lot of this is marketing. There's kids out there who are drinking the worst tasting stuff on the market because it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names, but I think some people know what I'm talking about.
And you know who you are.
Yes, you know you are. And it's filled with junk. And frankly, it's just considered cool. And so our whole thing, too, is how do you make that so that it brings that cultural relevance with it, too. And so we're going to be having another marketing campaign coming out soon that we hope will be like nudging in that direction. Part of the significant portion of this too is that a significant portion of the marketing funds for Pleasy goes to education. So actually trying to provide nutrition information in a way that meets kids and parents where they're at. Not preaching, but just telling you the truth about, hey, did you drink water today? Right? Just being real. And how many brands out there are putting the marketing money towards public health information? Right?
Not many.
As a parent, you hate being marketed to.
And right.
So part of it is, we know that parents are busy, exhausted, overwhelmed, and being tired of giving like BS. And we're trying to just be that brand that's real and honest and giving you something, again, that's going to help move the needle for kids' health, because on an issue that we've all been working on for a really long time. And we're just really, we have an amazing kitchen cabinet of pediatricians and public health experts and parents to make sure that what we're doing is that we are really actually doing what we need to help move the needle.
And Deb, which generation is this mainly that you're targeting? Is it the Gen
Alpha? So Gen
or Gen
Z? We're calling it Gen Alpha.
Gen Z
and
like
Alpha,
that.
Blending it together.
So what do we know a lot about Gen Alpha?
You know, we do. Actually, it's fascinating. First of all, it's a really exciting generation that is very in tune to their mental health. And they are the 99% of them do not like advertising or buy into advertising, which I love.
Yeah.
Like, they are very into truth. They get truth telling. They want entertainment, but they also just want straight talk. That's just, that is what they're looking for. And what I also love about it is, even though they're on social media, I think the stat that I recently saw was like 65% of them know that they prefer to be out in nature and offline.
Yeah.
They're already telling it within themselves because they know it's better for their mental health.
That's encouraging.
And so part of our marketing is also like, hey, we know we're reaching you on social, but we hope to see you in real life.
Yeah. I like, and get them off of, right, the channels that are talking to them and actually using our marketing to get kids moving, to get kids
active. I love that. It feels like an extension of State of Natural here at Expo. The keynote was a lot about Gen Z and so much of it, which it feels like Gen's Alpha is really even leaning more into these areas of connection and food as connection and nature and being outdoors, but also curiosity. And I don't know if that's something that you're seeing with Zalpha as well, but when it comes to flavors, Gen Z seems to be really excited about lots of different flavors and really open-minded. And I think as we are talking about sugar, to be more open to different types of flavors, I think we have some amazing young generations ready to change the narrative around what food should taste like. So I think it's exciting. Can we talk trends for a minute? What's out there? What's out there in low sugar, sugar-free, or types of products? What are you seeing and excited about?
Well, I'd say, so this is one of those better-for-you strategies. So we're talking about sugar reduction as the big umbrella that's very much still developing. And there's a lot of different avenues that people are going down. So one of them is, you know, you have your kind of straightforward sweeteners, your cane sugar, your honeys, your things like that. And they're just trying to very plainly bring the level down. So you'll see brands out there that are doing that. You'll also see brands that are going the route of, in this natural space, going the route of the natural sweeteners. So the stevia, the monk fruit, the erythritol, because you are getting very few, if any, grams of sugar with still achieving a sweet taste. And then there are brands that are going the route of your fruit juices as the sweetener, or your dates, or coconut sugar, things like that. So I think those are kind of the three main avenues that I've seen here. I think yesterday I was up on ACC level 3. I saw more date things than I have seen in
so
such,
many dates.
Dates happening right now, and then also coconut sugar happening a lot.
Yeah, and I actually really love that trend of just reducing sugar. I mean, there are brands like Choc XO is one of my favorites because they have these incredible dark chocolate. I mean, it feels like a really indulgent chocolate snack, but I think they only have a couple grams of sugar because it's just really good quality dark chocolate that's organic and just a little bit of organic cane sugar. So, and they talk about that, which I think is the important thing. We have the real sugar. It's just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and then you as a consumer are saying, okay, my taste buds accept this.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you've gone through the taste therapy.
she's in it right now.
Well, and this is not at the sugar topic, but I'm excited to see there's more functional nutrition. So seeing a little bit more fiber, seeing a little bit more protein. I know there's a lot of protein, like heavy items, but that to me is like a really exciting trend. Especially when you look at the benefit that you get per dollar. I wish in so many ways that when you were buying a product, it would be weighed by nutrition per calorie, right? Instead of it's just empty calories. What is most concerning in so many ways is when kids are hungry and they're also kids with obesity or overweight, because you're just getting these calories that are not actually adding to your nutritional profile and you're not being active enough. And part of the responsibility of the consumer packaged goods space is that you are providing nutrition. Because again, this is food that's fuel. It's joy, it's life, it's your cultural values, right? And what I hope we see are the trends out of all this, and I admit I'm not yet, today is my first day walking the floor, but I'm really hoping that what we see is just food that is more actually whole food forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a good point, Deb. And then when you're talking about those foods within that sweet category, right? What I love to see as a dietitian, as a mom, is something that is also contributing some of those nutrients of concern, some vitamins or minerals. So you're not just consuming something sweet with no added benefit, not even energy in some cases, but like the Plessy that's adding some fiber to it, or maybe some of the snacks that contribute electrolytes and magnesium, perhaps protein, for example.
Right.
So, yeah, and you'll see them out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get out there and be looking for some of the things you both shared. And thank you so much for your work, both of you, in this industry. And what a great conversation. We so appreciate you being here.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This was great.
Thank you.
It made me hungry.
I know.
Let's go eat.
All right, we're going to kick off the list with Plessy. So Deb Eschmeyer is one of the people behind this brand. It is a natural tropical punch beverage for kids. It's a collaboration between Deb Eschmeyer and Mrs. Obama. So that is really exciting. And as they shared on the podcast, as Deb shared on the podcast, first and foremost, they want children to drink more milk and water. But then kids are really going to be expecting something to grab after school or have something in their lunch. And so I love this as a healthier option to some of those soft drinks that kids are drinking. It has 75% less sugar than leading fruit juices, 2 grams of fiber per bottle, and no added sugars. So the sugars that are coming from it are from the fruits themselves.
And it also has some some functional nutrients, magnesium. I think it has some potassium. And I love the fact that I think they're in Walmart. You know, they're really going for those big conventional stores in order to really tackle that access issue.
Yeah, great point. That's a huge priority, is get in front of as many children as possible. So kudos to Plessy.
When you said they talked about, I got really excited for a second, like, wait, Michelle Obama was where was I?
One day.
It's a dream.
Reach for the stars.
The next product on the list is one that I spotted at Expo West. It's called Tim Tam Tummy, and it's a kid's kombucha. It's really eye-catching, first of all. I could see kids getting really excited about this beverage. They're bright cans. They're fun flavors. They're mini cans, so that's great for kids. It brings all the functional ingredients of probiotics into a beverage for kids that is really low in sugar and just a really clean beverage.
And I think it really speaks to that idea of shifting palates, changing palates, because kombucha is, you know, it's a little bit zestier than the average beverage. So getting that in front of children at an early age, I think, can help familiarize them with these unique flavors that can help them reduce sugar in their diets later on.
Yeah, and these are products that are really just sweetened with juices from concentrate. And again, they have that probiotic. So fantastic product.
And water. And it's carbonated.
Yay. Low sugar, mini cans, really fun to drink.
Here's another cutie can. Little baby cutie can. Love these cutie cans. So Good Pop, many of you are probably familiar. You love their popsicles.
Love their popsicles. I had one yesterday.
You did?
I did.
So you're not waiting for summer. No need. Popsicles are for year-round consumption. So Good Pop recently came out with a kids product. They have these mini cans that use real fresh fruit juice blended with sparkling water. So we are seeing more of that sparkling water trend going into the kids category. And it's just a fun little bubbly twist. There's no added sugar and artificial flavors, and it's a really great swap for juice boxes.
Yeah, super clean, like non-GMO it. Project verified. Great product.
Like it.
And cute. Next up on the list, Cali Water has just launched a kids' cactus water pouch. So it's prickly pear. The ingredients are super clean. It's blue agave, organic juice, and prickly pear cactus powder, and then it's sweetened with monk fruit. So really clean product. They have just 3 grams of sugar, and they're delicious too.
I really like that. I really like prickly pear cactus flavors of things.
I do too. And you know, I think some of the kind of reason behind Cali Water is also that it has those electrolytes, antioxidants. So it's not just a pretty face. It's also a functional face.
You have a functional face.
I've heard worse things.
Your face is functional.
Okay.
That face is...
Please remember to rate and subscribe to the list.
Please.
To the natural list.
Please.
Can we leave it?
Absolutely.
Want to be on the natural list? Send us an email at thenaturalist@newhope.com.